Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.3D software has been around a long time, but why is it so much better now? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is June 4th, 2013. We're on day two of 3D Software, our technology article that you can find on pages 12 and 13 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. And I have got back for today my two panelists, Joanna Wirtz and Josh Mooney. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Hi. Good to have you back for day two of this article. It's very interesting to learn what some of the pros and cons are of 3D software. But before we get into today, let me get from each one of them a thought from yesterday and just maybe a word or a concept that they think is worth reviewing today. So, Joanna.
Well, I would like to review the word obsolete, meaning it's just not relevant anymore. It's of little to no use because newer things have come along and you just don't want to use the old thing anymore, or you can't.
Okay. All right. What would the noun be of obsolete? Obsolete being an adjective, what would the noun be for obsolete?
Obsolescence.
Yes. Obsolescence.
Oh. So,
and in fact, that's a concept that is used in manufacturing because some products are built with built-in obsolescence, right? In fact,
make you buy another one.
Yeah. In fact, the automotive industry often people speculated that the automotive industry had built-in obsolescence so that people have to buy new cars within 5 years.
Or batteries, right?
Right.
We buy our home batteries. They last for several weeks, several
right.
months, depending how much you use of something. And you know they could make a battery that could last forever, right?
That's right. There are a lot. Some products could be built to last forever. However, the downside would be those companies would go out of business.
Right. A downside.
You buy one battery, then they're gone. Okay, what happens then when you need a new battery?
That's true.
All right, Josh, give me something from yesterday.
Oh, I think we could talk about this idea of CAD. And we're going to talk about it again today, CAD, computer-aided design. Mm-hmm. And Joanna talked about yesterday how she has done lots of design in her past that wasn't computer-aided. But this mm-hmm. notion of computer-aided design isn't new, and that's we'll
yeah.
talk a little bit about that today. It's just exploded in popularity.
Right. And we're talking about computer-aided design in this context. We're talking about products. Joanna, we talked about yesterday's designing articles. It's more 2D, but still you can use a computer to move things around to get a better feel for the article instead of actually laying it out in print.
So much easier on the computer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
simple to change a bit of text.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It might seem hard to believe for our listeners today, but actually 30 years ago, companies that made magazines or newspapers, they actually would have to physically put letters and blocks and graphics into printing machines
mm-hmm.
and just experiment with that and then run a print to see what it looked like. It was laborious.
Yes.
One of our words from yesterday.
Doris has told me many stories about the early
yeah.
days of Studio Classroom. And I believe the man's name was Chris Shen, who laid out every article before it went to print.
Single letters.
Yes.
Single letters. They had to put in single letters. So I used to do that like when I was in high school. We had a printing class. So, but anyways, we are now talking about computer-aided design. So, and we finished yesterday talking about the pros and cons. And I think this is actually significant to talk about, and this is really driving this article. First, I'm going to ask Joanna for a pro. What's good about this for consumers? I'm going to ask Josh for a con. What's bad about this slickness, this sleekness in design?
Well, one pro would be that I think they're wasting less materials on building prototypes. And so it's more efficient, less wasteful, and it brings more options to the consumers when mm-hmm. it goes to the shelves.
Yeah.
And a con would be that because we have so many choices, more items will be discarded faster and become obsolete even quicker, and our landfills will grow.
Yeah. So it's good and bad. So we got to figure out, okay, how do we balance these two and how do we lower the negatives? All right, let's do this. Just like yesterday, we will break up our reading into three sections. So just turn to page 13 in your advanced magazine. Our first reading will be the first two paragraphs in that left column.
New popularity. Although 3D CAD has been around for half a century, its use has exploded as the technology has improved. Just about every type of consumer industry employs it today, from makers of luxury yachts to golf clubs to health products. With a click of a mouse, they take a virtual trip inside the proposed product to examine its components in detail, run simulated stress tests to determine how well it would hold up in actual use, and even get color-coded warnings about parts that wouldn't fit together if the item was built according to its blueprint.
Okay, we're talking about the new popularity of 3D CAD design software, and is this something brand new?
It's not. It says the first line there that it's been around for half a century, which means it's been around for 50 years. But its use has exploded as the technology has improved.
In fact, I was actually mentioning to Josh and Joanna before the program, even when I was in high school, I remember seeing ads for people to go to school, go to Pittsburgh Technology Institute and learn CAD-CAM design. We're talking about CAD-CAM, C-A-M, computer-aided manufacturing, actually helps the manufacturing process. But yes, when I was in high school, you could actually go and study this. Of course, it has progressed tremendously, but even at that time, they were developing this.
I think it was large-scale manufacturing primarily, right?
Yeah.
Automotive industries and trucking and aerospace. It's really been about the shift from those large-scale manufacturing industries into simple everyday products.
Yes, you're right. It used to be, how do we make this big factory more efficient? But now it's a whole different thing, and this is actually more – you could apply this to more like, I would say, boutique industries, which we learned about, for instance, Pi Mobility and their bicycles yesterday. They could actually make the bicycles they need in a much smaller facility. So anyways, over the years, the technology has improved. And who uses this stuff, Joanna?
Well, nearly every type of consumer industry uses it today, like from people or companies that make luxury yachts to sports equipment places, to health products, pretty much everyone now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that as far as golf clubs, that because I like the golf, and I can think about how they can actually take a golf club now and design it and play around with it to find out, okay, what's going to hit the ball the longest and the most accurate, completely different from before any sports equipment. It's a huge advance. That's a whole industry, designing sports equipment. And we see health products. Now, with the click of a mouse.
Well, you can take a virtual trip inside the proposed product. So this is when I talked yesterday about fly-throughs, where you literally take a product apart and then put it back together in 3D. Mm-hmm. And you can see it from all different angles, like Joanna was talking about. This virtual trip relates to within the computerized environment, I'm stepping into the product.
Okay, you can examine its components, its pieces, its parts in detail, and also then run what?
Simulated stress tests, which, like what you were saying about the golf clubs, mm-hmm. trying to see how it would best hit the ball. The computer simulates physical conditions. So if you have a product that's going to endure some wear and tear, perhaps, then you can see without actually building it and destroying it on accident, you mm-hmm. could build it and see, okay, this works really well in simulated windy environments mm-hmm. or water, what have you. Yeah.
Sure. We mentioned the golf club. They mm-hmm. actually can design the golf club on the computer. They can actually then take a computer-simulated golf ball, and they could actually have a swing, and they could actually simulate where the ball is going to go and get a really good idea if this is a good club or not. Likewise, they're going to do this with airplanes or vehicles, cars, mm-hmm. things like that, right?
Buildings, you know, mm-hmm. do a simulated earthquake to make sure a new building will withstand the codes.
Yep. All right. So, all right. And then they can also – one other thing in this is really kind of interesting I saw in line 10.
Yes. It says it can even get color-coded warnings. And if something is color-coded, it means it's given a certain color to signal a certain thing.
Okay.
I actually have personal experience using this sort of technology because in design software, just regular graphic design, it'll give you alerts if your words are running off the page, if a picture isn't just right, if two graphics aren't fitting together, it'll pop up those codes. And they're really helpful because sometimes you just can't see stuff and then you print it out and then you're like, oh, that wasn't good.
Yeah, yeah. And this is actually – again, this is a major step forward in the manufacturing process because in the past, companies would go through the design. They would build tools. They would build parts for things. And then you would get to the actual assembly of something, and then you would find out, oh, that thing doesn't fit. It's an inch too long.
Hmm.
And it actually could be a huge cost, especially if you're talking about automobiles or other heavy appliances, and you're finding out, oh, part of our frame is an inch too long. So this can actually save people a lot of mistakes later on. Let's have our second reading right now.
Increasing accessibility. The software also enables product designs to be displayed on internet sites or sent via mobile devices to others in the business for their suggestions. The same approach can be used to lure buyers, since products depicted in 3D tend to be far more impressive than those shown in a two-dimensional image. It enables you to get a look at a product in the very early design process, added Anya Spivey, CEO of Lionhound Technology, which used the services of ID3D Design to create a Bluetooth iPod Nano case that fits on a person's wrist. And when you are selling an idea to investors, that is a critical component.
Okay, increasing accessibility. The software also enables...
enables product designs to be displayed on internet sites or sent via mobile devices. So this idea of accessibility just means that people who aren't, you know, industrial designers by trade can actually step into this process now thanks to the software being able to be accessed through the internet.
All right. How does this differ from maybe 20, 30 years ago?
Well, it used to be a set software downloadable system onto a computer that had the CAD CAM system on it. And it was extremely expensive. Yes,
yeah.
Desktop.
Yeah, okay.
So only large companies, car companies and plane companies, could even afford the software 30 mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
And now it has become much less expensive and doesn't even need to be downloaded anymore. The big selling point of a company like Autodesk and Adobe is cloud-based systems where mm-hmm. the software all exists on a server somewhere, not even in front of you.
And I'm also thinking if, say, you had designed a bicycle. You had changed the design of the bicycle. If it was 20 or 30 years ago, and if you wanted – and you were down there in Los Angeles, and then Joanna was working in the San Francisco office, but you wanted her to look at your design, it would have been a whole different problem because it would have been on your software down in Los Angeles. And literally, Joanna would have had to come there to look at your design on your desktop. Highly inefficient compared to today. So, all right. So there is more accessibility. Now, the same approach is also used to do what, Joanna?
Well, the same approach can be used to lure buyers since products are depicted in 3D and they tend to be more impressive. Like it gives the buyer a better idea of what they're sinking their money into. You tell a buyer about something, some people might be really intrigued and want to pay their money for that, and other people would be more like, you know, I have to see this in person. I'm not going to invest in this yet.
And this is very popular in the real estate industry. People buying new homes are now doing virtual 3D walkthroughs of homes, even before they're built, and giving their input on, you know, changes they'd like made or parts of a design that they like. It's become standard in the real estate industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This also goes back to what you were talking about yesterday as far as the trial and error and your graphic design with people and having to come up with things. I don't like that. I don't like that. Whereas now it's so much easier than you can depict this stuff in 3D.
What Josh just said about real estate, I'm imagining how much time you might save if what if a real estate agent gave a couple who were looking for a home options to do walkthroughs before they even went out to the house to see it in person. It seems like it would save so much time and energy and money than driving this poor couple around all over the city trying to find them a place to.
Sure.
Yes.
You've done that.
Seems way better.
Right?
Exactly.
And what's that like, going and looking for a house?
It's terrible. I could not imagine doing it without the internet. I would have wasted just hundreds of hours of my wife and I's time.
If you and your wife wanted to go look at five or six houses, you're talking all day. Mm-hmm. You're driving all over the place. It is just – and by the time you're done, you're worn out.
Yep.
You're like ready to surrender. Okay. You're thinking – by the end of the day, you're thinking, maybe the one we're in is not too bad. Let's not buy another house. This is great. Now they can just stay in one office and take a virtual walkthrough and eliminate the ones that they clearly are not interested in. Yeah. And going back to what you said, people know what they don't want. Next paragraph, Anya Spivey, CEO of Lion Hound Technology. What does she say, Joanna?
Well, she says that it enables you to get a look at a product in the very early design process. So say you're a designer, you're designing a new bicycle or something, but you're not sure if it's going to make any money or if it's what anybody would buy. How great is it to be able to just sketch out a very basic design in 3D and send it to potential investors, potential companies that would back you, want to take on your design, pay you for it? That saves a whole lot of money for you. And if it's a negative response, it saves you a whole lot of effort too.
Okay. Lion Hound Technology, what did they do?
Well, they actually partnered with the company we talked about yesterday, ID3D Design, to create a Bluetooth iPod Nano case. And that is interesting. So it's Bluetooth, meaning the Nano doesn't have to be plugged into the case, I guess, to work. And a Nano, of course, is Apple's smallest music player. And this case that Lion Hound creates fits on your wrist.
Yeah, I actually had gone to their website, Lion Hound, and checked out some of their products, and it looks just like a wristwatch. It's just a small thing, and instead of a watch, you've actually got this like small square that is the iPod Nano. And so you can wear your music on your wrist. It looks just like a watch. And they have a variety of wristwatch-like products that do combine music cases and watches. So you're bringing both of them together.
And I like it. The Bluetooth part means there's no wires. You're just listening on a Bluetooth receiver in your ear. And I like to run with my iPod Shuffle in my pocket. And a Bluetooth would be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And again, this is great. It's combining a couple of different things to have you carry less things around. And how does Anya Spivey finish this paragraph?
Well, she says that when you're selling an idea to investors, this is a critical component, being able to show them the early designs.
Mm-hmm. Very important, because especially if you're talking to a venture capitalist, it always helps if they can actually visualize it.
Yes. They don't want to hear your idea. They want to see it. And if they could see it in as close to its final version, as close as you can get, the more chances are that they're going to fund you.
This saves other steps too, because I think about that whole venture capitalist process in the past. Yes, you've got an idea, but then, all right, the venture capitalists want to see something. So then you got to go back. You got to get people together, design it. Let's build the prototype. Let's put something together. We can actually physically get something that they can actually maybe see, whereas this actually would save steps and time. So
venture capitalists these days would like to see profit more than products, but that's just the nature of the days.
Profit. We don't care what you sell. Just make money.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's have our last reading for today.
Future Direction. In this social media era, soliciting opinions about product designs is bound to become much more common, predicted Keith Perrin, senior manager for manufacturing at Autodesk, a company that provided the 3D CAD software used by Pi Mobility. In the next couple of years, you are going to see a massive change in the way people share information, he said. It's going to turn into more of a tribal thing, where I ask others, what do you think of my design? The younger generation expects that sort of collaboration.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Josh Mooney and Joanna Wirtz. We are on the final reading of our article, our technology article, 3D Software, on pages 12 and 13 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. And this section is called Future Direction.
Well, they're saying that in this era of social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all these places where you can get your idea out to a lot of different people, soliciting opinions about product designs is going to be much more common in the coming years than it has been. Because, you know, you've got a design and now you have a far broader audience to show it to.
Now, doesn't soliciting mean to sell something?
It does. That's one definition of soliciting. You might see a sign somewhere in a building that says no solicitors. That means they don't want you knocking on their door and selling them something at their place of business. But it also means asking people for their opinions. And to go and solicit opinions from people means that you want their feedback. Do they like whatever you're doing?
Okay, almost taking a survey.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, and so this is becoming much more common. First thing that comes to mind right now is Twitter. You want opinions, you can get opinions in about 10 minutes.
I was thinking more of Pinterest, a website that's very image-driven where you could put up, say, different colors or designs of a product and solicit the feedback from the entire Pinterest community.
I think that's actually more significant and worthwhile than Twitter. Twitter is more of reactionary stuff and it's just short blurbs and comments, whereas on Pinterest, you're going to get constructive feedback. People will give constructive feedback, suggestions, ideas, not just reactions. You like Pinterest, right?
I love Pinterest. Everybody, I love Pinterest so much.
Everybody send your Pinterest ideas to Joanna.
I use it for recipes. And when I think about how fast a recipe flies on Pinterest, if someone has a good recipe for a pot roast, I'll see it pinned several times a day on the main wall, just browsing.
Mm.
And, you know, different people are pinning it and using it. It just, you know, one stay-at-home mom blogs her recipe for pot roast and suddenly 500 users have seen it that day and are using it. They're reblogging it and then that gets reblogged and reblogged and suddenly someone's recipe goes viral practically.
Yeah.
And that's how it happens on Pinterest.
All right. So social media being a great way for then these companies, they can use computer-aided design, come up with products, or I don't know if they're going to be coming up with recipes, maybe tools for the kitchen to use on those recipes.
That's on there too.
Computer-aided pot roast?
Come on. Well, and they can get opinions. And, of course, this is becoming much more common. I was thinking how this is almost – in some forms, replacing consumer research, which used to be much more time-consuming, you can actually go on social networking and conduct consumer research. Now, this is predicted by Keith Perrin.
And he's the senior manager for manufacturing at Autodesk, a company I named yesterday. It's hard not to talk about Autodesk when you're talking about 3D CAD technology. They're sort of the leaders in it, but their competitor is called Adobe.
Okay. All right. And they actually provided the 3D CAD software used by Pi Mobility. And Pi Mobility was the bicycle company that we talked about right in the beginning of our article yesterday as far as them reconfiguring their electric bicycle. And then in the next paragraph, Keith Perrin continues.
Well, he says in the next couple of years, we're going to see a huge change, a massive change in the way people share information.
Hmm. Do you see that?
I do. I absolutely do. This is how I share information now these days is so vastly different from how I shared information even 5 years ago.
You worked in the web business, and what do you give me your impression for the last 10 years?
Oh, it's been a complete revolution. Yes, I think the way people are, especially in creative industries, I think ways that people are inspiring each other, sharing with each other, getting feedback from their peers, from their potential customers, from their partners. I think we're in the early innings of a very exciting game, to use a baseball analogy.
Yeah. All right. You're talking about teams in games. Keith Parent talks about something else in the next quote.
Well, he says it's going to turn into more of a tribal thing. And when I hear that, automatically my mind goes back to way, way a long time ago before technology, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of cool. It's come around like full circle almost.
Yeah. All right. Come around full circle. What's that mean?
It means it's completely changed back to the way it used to be.
Very good. Community in a different form. Community in a different platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Used to be living with each other in the same neighborhood or the same village, but now it's a whole different platform.
And it does. It's become the creative industries of all of them, music and art and film, it's so collaborative. Younger generations, digital natives as they're called, are just so accustomed to having things remixed or added to or changed by their peers via social media. The video has exploded in this way, where a video made by some street kids in Japan gets posted to YouTube, and some groups in New York remixes that video and does their interpretation of it. It's evolved into something very exciting.
Okay, and that's exactly how we finish our article with that last sentence. The younger generation expects that sort of collaboration. And yes, it's driven by the younger generation, but I would say should be true for all generations, and especially if you want to stay relevant, then you need to adjust. And it's not just the younger generation that should expect that collaboration, but it also should be people in all generations, Josh's generation, my generation, all of us, if we hope to try and make the best products, best designs that we possibly can, get collaborative input from everybody. Listeners, thanks for joining us here for this technology article. It's been fascinating. Come on back for our next one next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Joanna.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.